ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
तिस्रो रात्रिर्यदवात्स्यगृहे मे तिस्रो रात्रिर्यदवात्स्यगृहे मे अनश्नन् ब्रह्मन् अतिथिर्नमस्य अनश्नन् ब्रह्मन् अतिथिर्नमस्य नमस्तेस्तु ब्रह्मन् स्वस्ति मेस्तु
Namastestu Brahman Swastime Astu
Tasmat Prati Trin Varan Vranishwa Tasmat Prati Trin Varan Vranishwa Tisraha Ratrihi Yat Avatsihi Grahe Me Anashnan Brahman Atitir Namasyaha Namaste Astu Brahman Swastime Astu Tasma Pati Trin Paran Vrinishwa. If you remember, Nachiketas had arrived, right? He had arrived at Lord Yama's palace, and he's kind of walked outside for 3 days without any food. Right? And so all of the servants and people that were serving Lord Yama were extremely concerned about this, saying, "The Brahmana, when a Brahmana enters your house, he enters as like fire. And fire means he can warm the house, he can bless the house, he can also burn it down. He can destroy all the good things, all of your hopes and all of your aspirations, you know, all of your keeping company with the good, all of the charities that you've done and all of the rituals that you've done for punya. You know, he can destroy, take away from you, just by his anger, your children, putra, and all of your wealth, your cattle." So, They say, "Tell Lord Yama, bring water, take him water to wash his feet, you know, and to appease him because of this great injustice that has been done." So then what happens is Lord Yama approaches him, and what he says, "Tisraha ratrihi." For 3 days, just for his three nights, yet because for 3 nights, avatsihi, you have been graheme, you have been staying, you have been here in my house, at my place, for 3 nights, anushan, not eating, with no food, O Brahman, he says, Brahman means O Brahmana, addressing Nachiketas, this young boy who was a Brahmin boy. O Brahmana, you know, you've been here at my house for 3 nights, not eating. You're an atithi. Atithi means you're an uninvited guest. Uninvited guest is always honored. They're always brought in, their feet are washed, they're made very comfortable, and they're always fed immediately. Atithi is considered very important in the whole Hindu culture. So you always take care of the atithi, the uninvited guest. So here you're an atithi, and you're namasyaha, you are adorable. That's how Gambhirananda translates namasya. It means you are to be pranamed to, you are to be, you know, you are to be loved, you are to be respected, I owe you my pranams as a brahmana, you know. Then he says, namaste astu, let my salutations, my prostrations be to you. Please receive them, is the idea. Let me give you my prostrations. And then he says, O Brahmana, swasti me astu, and may you make everything all right for me. Swasti means, may you bless me. In other words, may, as Shankara says in his commentary, may you take away any of the papa that I may have accrued to me for letting this happen to you. So please accept my pranams and please bless me. So Swasti is blessed, may you bless me. And then he said, so now he's asked for that. That should be enough, according to Shankara. That should be good. If he's done what he needs to do, that'd be fine. But then he says, tasmat prati trin varan vrnishwa. He says, because this has happened, therefore, you know, may you ask three boons prati for each one of those nights. For each one of those nights, may you ask a boon. So I'm giving you three boons, one for each of the nights. Okay? So that's this verse. So Nachiketa thinks over, seriously thinks, the Lord Yama is giving him three boons. A boon, if he gives a boon, then that boon is going to be fulfilled. And he has three of them. And so what is he going to choose of these three boons? So the first boon, he chooses to bless his father and to take care of his father, because his father's probably really suffering. Remember, his father's the one, after he was doing this very ritual where you give away everything. And so Nachiketa saw he was giving away these old, all the old cows, all of the cows that were half dead. And he was thinking, he hasn't given me away. He's giving all of these old cows, he hasn't given me away. And so he was worried, because Nachiketa says, Shraddha, he has so much Shraddha, he's not giving me away. This whole ritual that he's doing is not going to bless him, you know? So he asked his father, Father, to whom are you going to give me? To whom are you going to give me, Father? Father, to whom are you going to give me? He asked him three times. And his father got irritated and said, I'll give you to hell, so I'm just... I'm going to send you to Lord Yama. But then Nachiketas, when he heard that, he realized, he thought it over and realized, Yama doesn't really have any use for me. There's nothing I could do for Lord Yama, really. My father was speaking out of anger. He was speaking out of anger, but he made this statement. He said it. Those were his words. And whatever he says should be a satya sankalpa. Satya sankalpa is such a high value of India. In India, satya sankalpa means, what are the statements that I make, may you do this or go to Yama, I'm sending you there. It's been said. And so Nachiketa now was worried, because he realized that his father has said this out of anger. And so he had to talk to his father and tell him, you know, realizing that he said this out of anger, he right away says, remember your fathers and your grandfathers, those who came before you, how they would behave. And the Shrestha Purushas, those exalted Purushas, people, now how they would how they would behave. In other words, you have to send me. you have to honor what you said. And so he does send Nachiketas to Lord Yama. But when Nachiketas gets there, Yama's not there. He's off doing his job, collecting from the people. He's doing his job. And so for 3 days and three nights, he's sitting out there waiting for for Lord Yama to come home. That's the situation. And so Lord Yama feels that he's really done a disservice. A brahmana should never be treated in that way. So he wants to make it up to him, so he gives the three boons. Mm-hmm. Now Nachiketas thinks about, what should I do? So the first thing he thinks about is making this right with his father, because his father is probably really being horrible. Mm-hmm. You can't imagine, right? He was angry, he said some irritable thing, and what happens, he loses his son to Lord Yama. He's going to be disturbed about this. So, now this verse. Shanta sankalpa sumana yakasyat
Shanta
Sakampa
Sumanangitasya Vitamanyur Gautamo Mabhimrityo Vitamanyur Gautamo Mabhimrityo Twat Prasrishtam Mabhivade Pratita Twat Prasrishtam Mabhivade Pratita Etat Trayanam Pratamam Varam Prane Etat Trayanam Pratamam Varam Prane Shanta Sankalpaha Sumanaha Yatha Syat Vita Manyuhu Gautamaha Ma Abhi Mrityo Tat Prasrishtam Ma Abhivade Pratyutaha Etat Trayanam Pratamam Varam Prane. Last line, he says, of the three, eta, this, triyanam, of the three boons, pratamam varam, the first boon, vrane. This, I ask for this, as the first, I ask for this as the first among the three boons. This is the first thing I ask for. What does he ask for? He says, Shanta sankalpaha sumanaha yatha syat. He says, just as yatha, the idea is this, yatha syat, may he be, may he become just as he was before, yatha syat. May he become like he was before, Shanta sankalpaha, may his mind have made a sankalpa, may his sankalpa that he made, may that become relaxed. You know, he's made this sankalpa, may he relax around that, may that sankalpa gain some shanti. Because that sankalpa, go to yama, there's so many things his mind can be buzzing around that, go to yama. First of all, that he did that to his son, but not just that, what is his son going to be doing with Yama? Is his son going to be behaving properly with Yama? What is Yama, how is Yama going to treat his son? What's going to be happening to him? So let that sankalpa become peaceful. Sumanaha, may his mind become cheerful again. Right? May his mind, sumanaha, his mind, may his mind become cheerful. Then he says, Vita manyuhu, may he be free of anger. So it goes like this. May Gautamaha, Gautama is another name for his father. There, we have a few names here, we'll have a few more. So Gautama is the name of his father. So he says, may Gautama, Vita manyuhu ma abhimrityo. Hey mrityo, may my father be free of anger toward me, ma abhi. Because he was angry when he said that, you know, go to mrityu. So he was angry. So may he be free of that anger toward me. May he have peace around the sankalpa. May his mind be cheerful as it used to be. Right? Hey mrityu. And then he says, Twat prasrishtam ma abhivadet pratitaha. He says, may he remember me. May he remember me, and remembering me, may he speak to me who have been released by you. Because who has been sent back by you. So there's something nice here. Usually when we're reincarnated, we don't come back just as the person we were before. So what he's asking of Lord Yama, make my father okay, bring him back to his sane mind. Give him shanti, you know. Let him be free of anger toward me. And let him be, see me. You send me back, you having sent me back to him. So there's a lot of boons in this one boon. you having sent me back to him, he says, let him, remembering me, let him, like, recognizing me, Let him recognizing me, let him talk to me. Right? Abhivedate means ma, abhivedate. Let him talk. Ma means me. Let him talk to me. Who has been sent back to you? Not just talk to me. Let him recognize me as I used to be. You know, that I am your son. Let him recognize all that. And then he said, then he says, this is the first boon of the three that I'm asking for. That you take care of my father, you know, free him of anger, free him of anger toward me, give him shanti, give him peace, let him be resolved about this sankalpa, about his sankalpa, not worried about it. And then he says, and let him recognize me when you send him back. When you send me back in the same form as his son so that you recognize me. That is my first boon. And so he says that he's actually, because the first boon is taking care of the father. So then Mrityu says, he goes, Mrityu Ruvacha, Yatha Purastat Pavita Pratitaha. Yatha Purastat Pavita Pratitaha. Audalakirarunirmat prashushtaha Sukham Ratrish Shaita Vita Manyahu. Sukham Ratrish Shaita Vita Manyahu. Twam Dadrishavan Mrityumukhat Pramuktam. Twam Dadrishavan Mrityumukhat Pramuktam. Yatha Purastat Bhavita Pratitaha. Audalakihi Arunihi Mat Prasrishtaha. Sukham Ratrihi Shaita Vitamanyahu. Twam Dadrishivan Mrityumukhat Pramuktam. He says, so your Lord Mrityu Uvacha, so Mrityu says, Lord Yama says, Mrityu says, Mrityu means death. So that's another name for Yama. So Lord Death says, Mrityu Uvacha, Yatha Purastat Bhavita Pratitihi. So here, Pratitaha, Audalakihi Arunihi Mat Prasrishtam. So take this first line. Yatha Purastat Bhavita. He will become Bhavita. He will become Purastat Yatha, just as he was before. Purastat before. Yatha Purastat, just as he was before, he will become. Pratitaha, remembering you, recognizing you, he will become as he was before. Before what? Before the sankalpa. Okay? So he will recognize, he will become just as he was before, having recognized you. Who will? Audalaki Arunihi. Two more names. All names for the father. Okay? Audalaki Arunihi. Then he says, so Audalika, your father, Audalika, also called Arunihi, he will, having remembered you, he will become just as he was before. And then he says, Mat Prasrishtaha. Mat Prasrishtaha means, ordered by me, commanded by me, means I can do this. I have the power to do this. So commanded by me, Sukham Ratrihi Shaita. He will sleep happily through the nights. Sukham means happily, peacefully. He will sleep well, Ratrihi, during the nights. Okay. Then, and Vita Manyuhu, he will be free from anger. Right? Then he says, Twam Dadrishavan, seeing you, he will be free from anger. Seeing you, Mrityumukhat Pramuktam, seeing you who have been Pramuktam, freed from the jaws of death. Right? So he says, Mrityumukhat, the mouth, the jaws of Mrityu. So
Seeing you free from the jaws of death, he will be freed of his anger, and he will sleep well. Okay. He'll sleep happily. Mat prashishtaha, ordained by me, means I can bring this about, that he sleep well. So at my command, he will sleep well through the night. Okay. And free from the jaws of death, he will remember, you know, remembering you, he will become as he was before. Okay.
It almost seems like a fairy tale at this
point. It's a story. Are you okay with this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then Nachiketa uvacha, Nachiketa uvacha, Swarge loke nabhayam kinchanasti, Swarge loke nabhayam kinchanasti, Natatratram jaraya bhibeti, Natatratram jaraya bhibeti, Ubetir dvashanaya pipase, Ubetir dvashanaya pipase, Shokatigo modate swargaloke, Shokatigo modate swargaloke. So he's starting, Nachiketa says now that Yama has secured the first boon, agreed to it, now he's starting to ask the second boon. He just makes a statement. He says, Swarga loke, in Swarga loka, na bhayam kinchana asti, there is no fear. It's an absolute, that na kinchana, kinchana means some, na kinchana means never, none. There, in Swarga loka, in heaven, there is no fear. He says, na tatra tvam na jariya bibeti. He says, you're not there. Lord Yama is not there. And he said, because you're not there, not netetra, not there, tuamu, you're not there, so najaraya bibeti, so there's no fear of old age. Mm. Right? There's no death. Because you're not there. Lord Yama can't enter into Swarga. So no death, no old age. There's no death, no old age either. You're always maintaining your health. And then he says, Ube tiritwa ashanaya pipase, and also he says, having crossed tiritwa, both ashana and pipasa, the hunger and thirst. You don't get hungry, you don't get thirsty. As you want food, you have it. As you have a desire for food, you have it. As you have a desire for drink, you have it. So you never suffer from hunger or from thirst. So having crossed both hunger and thirst, then shoka atigaha modate. Shoka atigaha means also there is, you have gone to the other side of shoka. In your mind, Shankara says, you know, in your mind can be moody. You can become sorrowful, you know, or sorrowful or depressed or agitated, the whole negative spectrum. You've crossed over all of that. There is no shoka. In Swargaloka, there's no shoka for you. You don't get old. You don't die. You don't become sick. You don't suffer from hunger and thirst. And your mind never becomes unhappy. Okay, Swarga. Okay. So, shoka atigaha. So being like this, such a person, modate Swargaloka, such a person rejoices in heaven. So Nachiketa is just thinking, you know, I would like to go to Swargaloka. So there's this Swargaloka, you know, even though it is a relative, it's a relative in the sense that it does come to an end. If you go to Swargaloka, it comes to an end with when the creation resolves, the cyclical creation. So at the end of the Kali Yuga, when there's a resolution of the creation and the beginning of it, that time, that punya runs out. But that's a long time. As long as the creation is up, is manifest, as for that period of time, you will be in Swargaloka with not aging, right? With no fear of death, with basically no problems. Mm-hmm. So.
rejoicing with no fear and no lack. So he says, that's just the start. So I know, Nachiketa is saying, I know about Swarga Loka, you know, but I also know how difficult it is to get there. It is very, very difficult. It takes crores and crores and crores of punya. It takes, you know, a total commitment to upasana, to meditation and to rituals, particular rituals, meditations, and to dhanam, to all of the gift-giving and various types of charities that you do. There's different types of karmas that have to be done. With a very dedicated effort. And even then, you may not make it. It's not a easy thing. Yeah.
Was that the goal of the ritual that his father was doing to get to Swarga?
I don't know.
Is that part of the story?
I don't know. It's a lot of punya, but I don't know what the thing was. Mm-hmm. Probably not, since he's asking for this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he goes on and asks for the boon after he's introduced it in this way. So he says, Satvam agnim swarajya madhye shimrityo. Satvam agnim swarajya madhye shimrityo. Prabruhi tvam shuddhadhanaya mahyam. Prabruhi tvam shuddhadhanaya mahyam. Swargaloka amrtattvam bhajanta. Swargaloka amrtattvam bhajanta. Swargaloka amrtattvam bhajanta. Swargaloka amrtattvam bhajanta. Etad vritiyena vrne varena. Etad vritiyena vrne varena. So he says, Satvam agnim swargyam adyeshi mrityo. Prabruhi tvam shraddhadanaya mahyam. Swargalokaha amrtattvam bhajanta. Eta advatiyena vrne varena. He says to Lord Mrityu, Hey Mrityu, O Lord Mrityu, Sahatvam, you are, as you are, Sahatvam, you being what you are, Sahatvam, you know very well, you know this Agni Swargya, this ritual. Agni is standing for the ritual. All rituals are fire rituals to Lord Agni. So you know this Agni, which is Swargyam. You know this ritual. I know that you know this ritual, which leads to Swarga, which will result in Swarga. So Agni Swargyam. So you know this. I know that you, such as you are, you clearly know this ritual. Prabruhi tvam, teach that to me. Please tell me that. Prabruhi, may you tell that. May you tell me. May you tell that to me. Who's the me? Mahyam, to me. Shraddhadana, who am full of Shraddha. Means I have Shraddha in the Vedas. I have Shraddha in these rituals. My faith is there complete. You know, there's no doubt about my Shraddha. So please tell this to me. I have to me who have the Shraddha. Means I'm worthy of receiving it because I have Shraddha. And so then he says, the Swargalokaha, those who have made it to Swarga, people who have gone to Swarga, amrtattvam bhajante, bhajanta. Should be bhajante. Yeah, sorry. Bhajante. they experience immortality.
Mm-hmm.
It's relative, but they're not going to experience death as long as the creation is up, is manifest. So those who get to Swarga, Swargalokaha, those who have become residents of Swarga, Swargalokaha, they experience immortality. Etad tvatiyena vrne varena. I ask this, Etad, I ask for this boon. I ask for this, Vritiyena Varena, by the second boon.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I request. I request this. for my second home, as Vin says. Right? So in this, he's taking care of the people, right? So first he's taking care of his father, then he's taking care of the community. Give me a ritual that everybody can do, that can actually do it, you know, that is doable, and not impossible. Give me a ritual that will lead to Sorga, so that those who perform this ritual can attain Sorga. That's the idea. Okay for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, boy.
How much?
For some reason the sound keeps going.
Someone unmuting themselves.
Oh, some people are not having sound. Testing. You should have the sound, Jagadish. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Sana, okay. Other people have sound. Okay. So let's see what Richard answers. Prate pravimi tarumeni bodha.
Prate pravimi tarumeni bodha.
Swargyam agnin nachiketah pajanam.
Swargyam agnin nachiketah pajanam.
Anantalokapti mato pratishtam.
Anantalokapti mato pratishtam.
Vidhi tvametam nihitam guhayam.
Vidhi tvametam nihitam guhayam.
Prate pravini tarume nibodha swargyam agnim nachiketaha prajanam anantalokaptim ato pratishtam vidhi tvam etam nihitam guhayam. So Yama answered, Lord Yama answers, he says, I will tell that to you, prate pravini, the pra goes with the pravini, pravini, I will tell clearly to you, I will tell that clearly to you, he says, me nimboda, but understand what I'm telling you. Pay attention. Listen very carefully. Mm-hmm. That's Nibodha means. Nibodha means understand by paying careful attention. Okay. So he says, Swargyam agnim nachiketaha prajanan. He says, E nachiketa prajanan swargyam agnim. Knowing this, he's talking about himself. Yes, I know this Agni ritual. I know this Agni, this Swargya, this ritual that leads to Swarga. Yes, I know it. I will tell it to you. I'll tell this to you very clearly. The Pra means clearly. I'll tell this to you very clearly. But pay attention. Pay attention. Yeah. And so, then he says, Ananta lokaptim ato pratishtam viddi tvam etam nihitam guhayam. He says, may you know, viddhi tvam, may you know this particular, may you know this, which itself brings about the attainment, or brings about the attainment, the opti, of this limitless, and of this limitless loka. Limitless because there's no death, and there's nothing that you can't have there. The swarga loka is limitless, it's without end. Because you will never come, those there will never come to an end, right? As long as the creation is there. So this limitless loka, which is pratishtam, which is also the very basis of the universe, because it has to do with virat. We'll get into that later. So this, may you know this pratishtam, this virat, which is the basis of the whole world, and which is a loka, a world that is limitless. So that's basically what he says. And then he says, and may you know this, which is nihitam guhayam. This knowledge is something which is hidden there, guha, in the depth of the buddhi, of the wise people.
Mm.
Right? So this knowledge is there, being held in the buddhi of the wise, of those few people who know it. So this ritual I'm going to give to you. That's it. That's enough. How many verses did I do? Let me see.
Five.
Six
of them.
Oh,
six
five.
Seven?
Five. Next
one. Five.
We have five more to really get down to it here.
Yeah. No, because in the next time I have to talk about Virat, so I'm not going to do that now.
Okay.
We've got about 10 minutes left.
All right.
Virat, there's more to say. That's where I'm stopping here. Swastit Pajabhya Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmane Vyashivamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varashati Parajanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamsho Varahitaha Brahmana santu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amitangamaya Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
So in verse 13 about the fire ritual,
yeah,
it's for everybody, not mostly for his father. I somehow thought...
Oh, no. The fire ritual's for everybody. It's for the community.
Okay.
Yeah. But
so this is like the beginning of the fire ritual. It didn't exist before. Yama just... Well, it existed,
well,
but not
in the minds
not
of the wise,
that,
yeah, not among the people. So Nachiketa wants it to be available to his people. Yeah.
But just this
community.
Particular one, right? Just
yeah,
this one.
Particular. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
there
then,
are other yajnas.
Yeah, but then he offers... You know, he's going to offer an extra boon of this. Well, I'll talk about this,
okay.
This the multi-jeweled boon, which can be taken as a multi-jeweled, actually, necklace, like the Navaratna, the which is a very auspicious necklace, but it's also can be taken as a shrinka, means to a lot of different desires, filling a lot of different desires. So he's going to offer that as an extra boon. We'll see that. We'll get there for next time for sure. Yeah.
I had the idea that this ritual was very difficult to do and it wasn't easy.
The upasanas are, this ritual's relatively complicated, but not that complicated. He wanted something that people could learn and do it. And so, actually, Yama kind of, he doesn't explain the whole ritual. Swamiji says, this isn't the Karmakanda. This is a story, right? So he's not going to go through all of the steps of the Nachiketa's ritual. Mm. That'll be somewhere in the Karmakanda.
Well, that is somewhere in the Karmakanda.
Swamiji said probably is there. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be explained here in the story. That would be really complicated. So all he says in one line, there's a certain ishtakaha, there's a certain type of bricks. Those bricks have to be, there's a certain number of a certain type of bricks and they have to be arranged in a particular way, So he gives these three things. He teaches Nachiketas these three things of how to do it, And Nachiketas has to be able to repeat back to him exactly. And so he does. So Yama is happy that he could give him this complicated ritual, and that telling this complicated ritual, Nachiketa paid attention like he was asked to, and that main mode to pay careful attention. He paid attention, and then he repeated the whole thing back perfectly to Lord Yama. And Lord Yama smiled. He's very pleased that he had that medha shakti, Very well done. So that's what we're going to do. So he gave him a couple of extra boons, as we'll see.
Can the Mamukshu use this as a kind of backup plan, just in case?
That would be, I don't think we could pull it off, actually. No.
I have to have short time.
Swamiji sometimes jokes, I think I've told you, Swamiji jokes about that,
Oh, yeah.
Some people want to go to the Swargaloka so that they can get moksha from Brahmaji.
Mm.
But get moksha means the same, going through being taught the Upanishads.
Mm.
Because moksha has to do with knowledge, it doesn't have to do with anything but knowledge, really. Antakarma Shuddhi and knowledge. So Swamiji would always make a joke of it and say, you're much better off getting it here. Just get the same knowledge, Don't put it off. You don't know for sure you'll get to Swargaloka. Don't put it off getting it here, get it here now.
There's the rub.
Yeah, you may not make it. And if you get there, you'll still be getting the same knowledge that you're getting here. Knowledge is knowledge.
Same upadesha.
I remember one of the interviews that you had with Swamiji way back when, and I forget how this came up, but I transcribed some of them, so I remember this. It was something about heaven, talking about heaven, and then Swamiji said, yeah, it talked about just to negate it, in a sense, for those people who have that desire. It's negated.
Well, Swamiji always tells really fun stories about it. Like, for instance, with Swarga, it goes on forever, really. But that forever is limited. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that forever is going to have a last day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it seems like forever is forever until that last moment, and then it's gone.
And everybody in heaven knows it's going to be that last day.
I suppose they know.
And that's because Swarga, Swarga basically is based on your merits, on your good, your punya.
Punya.
And your punya can never be unlimited.
Karma. No karma can, whether it be upasanas or rituals, meditations or rituals, any type of karma, is itself limited, takes place in time, and so the result will take place in time. A lot of times, also, there's different levels, there's different lokas, there's different levels of heaven also. And so you can also say, this is not Swarga now, or Satya Loka, but say you've been doing so many good deeds, so much dharma, so much karma, so much meditation, so many upasanas, you've accrued a huge amount of punya that can at least get you to the one of the higher lokas, where all of the devatas are. You can get to one of the highest lokas, and you can be there for a really long time. You know? Thousands or millions of, whatever, long time. You can be there a long time. But that long time eventually becomes a short time. That's the way of it, you know. It's not a long time anymore when you've got 3 days left,
right.
You know. It was a long time up to then, but that's not our reality. That's not, even in this life. I remember when I was like eight or nine, see, my mom was just had her 30th birthday. And I was thinking, wow, she's old. and I thought, that's, and I was worried about it a little bit. And I thought, well, that'll be a really long time before I'm 30. Because I was thinking of all the things that I'd like to play and do, you know. I don't want to be like that. but that was a long, long time away.
Then you blinked.
Yeah, then I blinked, yeah. Then I remembered when I was 30, oh, it's come. Because I never, that thought was one of those potent thoughts, you know, it was a very real thought that I never forgot it, actually. And I remembered it again on my 30th birthday, yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
There it is. It wasn't that long. Samsara, there's no escape. Samsara exists, is time and space. You know, within time and space, within duality, you're within time and space. So there's continual change. So if you're asking to really get anything from the world, you have to know that it's not going to be lasting. Hmm. You know, so say you're projecting your sukha, or your shanti, your peace, your success, anything, doesn't matter what it is, anything that you project on the world, oh, this will make me happy, or this will solve my problems, that is a myth. And you, if you look backwards in time, you'll see it's never been true. You know, it's not that problems are never solved, but they're only temporary solutions waiting for the next set. Yeah.
And yet he asked for the happiness of others.
So he asked for the happiness of his father to take care of that problem, then for the well-being of others through this ritual, you know, which is not that hard to do. So, and the third one will be for himself. Mm. So it's a good person.
So isn't it the case, or I would expect that if you made it to these higher lokas, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a mamushu there. You might
forget about it. You don't have to be a mamushu.
Just enjoy. Right, so you don't necessarily go for teachings.
You might
just start enjoying and forget about it the whole way through.
Or you don't even have to go to swarga as a mamushu. You go to swarga because of your punya, the accrual of the punya, and the right kind of prayers and rituals and upasanas that have been done.
So those people might be rare there too, the mamushus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they say in the mythology, or whatever you want, however you want to hold that, what they say is in this loka, where we are, and in Swarga loka, are the only two places where you can gain knowledge.
So Brahmaji might be giving satsang, and some of the guys there will just go, I don't feel like going.
Yeah. If they won't even go, why would they go?
They're
happy. There's no problem. You can be a mamukshu. You can be a mamukshu and then exhausting karma in these other lokas, you know, and come back to this loka or to the Swarga loka in order to gain knowledge. But say if you're in a dream, there's boktritvam, there's enjoyership, but there's not kartritvam. Kartritvam means doership. Here we have both the boktritvam, the enjoyership, and doership. The Swarga loka also. But not in the intermediary lokas. It's more just like experiencing your karma.
Yeah. I had a question about the contemplation.
Oh, yes.
Is it too late or?
Yeah. When I started that, I was thinking, oh no, am I really going to try to do that? Because it came a couple of times, so I thought, oh, let me try that one.
Well, maybe this is a little off topic, but, you know, your identity with the body and how strong that is, even though it's mitya. Then you also have an identity with yourself, your own being, mm-hmm. Is there a qualitative difference in the strength of those identities from mitya to satyam?
There's a shift.
There's a shift.
When you're, until you have self-knowledge, the identity with the body, mind, is complete. So that's what you take yourself to be. There's no viveka, there's no discrimination there. You know? And in fact, there's worry. You might believe in a soul or in going to heaven, you believe it, but there's also a doubt about who's the one going. You know, like if the soul is, am I going? Or the soul, is the soul me? And is that the me that I know right here and now? You probably don't think that much about it, but in any case, you don't know. You know, you could say there's life after death and I believe that I'll go to heaven, you just don't know who that I is. Like, what is the soul that goes to heaven? You know? So there's a lot of kind of fear and doubt and wonder, you don't know for certain. But you know that you are this person right here and now, this body-mind complex.
Yeah, that's so very strong.
It's as strong as can be. But there's all, see, this is the wonderful, amazing thing about this Satya Mitya. When the pot says, I am the clay, it's correct, right? It is totally the clay. There is nothing else there. So it says, the pot says, I am the clay. And that identity couldn't be stronger, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because it is the clay.
Yeah.
Right? But what it doesn't realize is that I, the clay that I am, is free of the pot. Mm-hmm. That's the Satyam Mitya. Mm-hmm. That's what it doesn't know. And so there couldn't be a stronger identity on the part of the mind because it's actually correct. Like if I say, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being because conscious being is the only thing that's really there. It's the uncaused cause. You know, it's the bottom line of all experience that I have is me, this conscious being. You know, and so when the mind says I'm the conscious being, there's a superimposition there, but it's Satya Mitya, so it's 50%, Swamiji will laugh sometimes and say it's 50% correct. Because the mind is me, but I'm free of the mind. That part is not known. And so all that happens is that this very strong identity is an identity of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know. But now what has to happen is that the mitya part has to be differentiated. So, and that's what has it happen.
And are those identities at least simultaneously occurring?
Well, there's only one self there. Right?
Yeah, all right.
There's only one self, so... Say once you have knowledge, the mind is thinking, the body is moving, and all of it is enjoying me, but what's recognized is I'm stable. Right? No matter what no matter what I'm saying, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what I'm talking, no matter what emotions are going there, all this is going on, right? And it's all me, and at the same time, I'm not doing anything. So both are, what I say, aparoksha. Both are immediately recognized.
Mm.
Like you're having thoughts, and you're not having thoughts. From the standpoint of the thoughts, you're having thoughts. From the standpoint of you, you're not doing anything. Right? So always, in the totality of your experience, there's you, who are never changing in any way. You're always just your being, the wholeness of your being is ever present. And all of the experiences that are coming and going, right, are all known.
Well, it's almost like being an actor and thinking that you're Hamlet and you're always Hamlet. And instead you need to remember that you're an actor and whatever role you're free to play whatever role.
Well, you know, in the Panchadashi, they use it's in chapter 10, I believe, the Panchadashi. They use that analogy, Swamiji's also used it, referring back to that chapter in Panchadashi, of the actor playing on stage, playing a role. So no matter how much you're into that role, mm-hmm. you're still you. That is totally free of the role. Okay. So this, in this sense, you're it, with the actor. Those analogies and examples have their limitations because the person who's playing the role, right, has their own is themselves not an uncaused cause, but a body, mind, sense organs person. But there is a distinction. While you are playing the role and totally engaged in the role, you're also totally free of the role. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of that analogy. And so say for us, because you, the very me that makes me, is never not present. I'm always here. No matter what the thoughts are, or the feelings are, or the perceptions are, or the relationships are, all of those things are continually changing and happening, but I am always free. So there's the free me, that is always present in the very self of all of the changing experiences, including my mind and my emotions and my perceptions. All those are taking place and have me as their being, but I'm never changing. And so you see, as the mind starts to recognize the fact of it, then your mind is never away from your stable self, because it never is away from it. It's just that viveka is there. So I'm always here as me, and my mind always has me as itself, no matter what. No matter what feelings are there or thoughts are there. Now, the mind is used to only relating to other vrittis. The mind is used to relating to this thought and this thought and this thought, so it's hopping laterally, you know, from thought to thought to thought to thought to thought. And that's totally how it's engaged. And for samsari, it's only relating within samsara, never paying the slightest attention or noticing me who's not engaged in anything. It doesn't see in terms of depth. It doesn't see its own being. All it sees is recognizing its change within its own being, not its own being. And so there's a shift that takes place once that is pointed out. Everything that you've identified as you is actually objectifiable. Like in the dream, if you think of the dream character becomes a mumukshu and needs knowledge within the dream. Every single thing that they had taken their being to to be dependent upon, their body, their mind, their sense organs, because I have a body, mind, sense organs, I am. When the body, mind, sense organs goes, I'm not sure. That's what Nachiketa's question was. What happens, really? You know? I don't know. I am now, but when this body, mind, sense organs dies, then what? Is this me, the me that I am, dependent on this body, mind, sense organs? And you can say, some people say that it's not. That's how Nachiketa starts with his third boon. Some people say that I survive, that this Atman self survives death. Is it true? I hope it's true. But I don't know for sure, right? Because the one who's saying it has no self-knowledge. They just have self-experience. They don't have self-knowledge. And there's a total superimposition between me, on the part of the mind, between me and the mind, and the body. You know? And the mind has no self-knowledge, so why shouldn't it? Why? Of course it's going to doubt, because whatever the mind is doing, I am there. As long as the mind is there, I am there. Because I'm the very truth of the mind. So why wouldn't the mind just say, I think I'm the mind? I mean, I'm the self.
Is the karya, karanam, prakriya the same as satchanicham?
Well, that's, see, the karya karanam means cause-effect. Mm-hmm. And so as you unfold, and means material, it's talking material cause and the effect, okay?
Okay.
And as you analyze it, it resolves into satyamitya.
It resolves into satyamitya. Mm-hmm.
The
okay.
effect, what you call the effect, proves itself to be only nitya.
Mm.
Yeah. So karya karanam resolves into satyamitya.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And that's a very powerful understanding. We can use that in contemplation also, because what is this, the material being, you know, that fills all experience as the material cause. Mm. And itself can't be caused, because then we have to look for that material cause of the thing that has been caused. Mm. You have to end up ultimately with the subject that can't be objectified. But we don't even have to, that brings in, that's also with Drikdrisha. Drikdrisha has its limitations and is very necessary, and Karya Karana is very profound but hard to teach without referring back to Drikdrisha. So they see or seeing. So these, in the end you need both, and they kind of weave together. But you can see in terms of a meditation, as you become more clear, there is no edges to the self experience. You can't have any experience that's not pervaded by conscious being. It's impossible. You can never get outside of conscious being. And so when you're just sitting there, what is really there is conscious being, and there's nothing that can get outside of it. So all experiences are really nothing filled with only that. And you can just kind of sit there and recognize the truth of that.
Well, it's almost like with your understanding, you're moving more toward cause and away from effect. And the more you're toward cause,
there's more peace.
Because there's less.
Well, if you're moving toward the, if we use this word karana, material cause, you're moving toward what is actually there. And is invariable. So it's a little technical. I didn't know how that was working as a meditation, but you have to try different things.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Yeah, it's all mandukya.
I'm sorry, can I ask one more?
Sure.
I don't see why there's a distinction here between a material cause and
efficient cause?
Yeah.
Well, it's because efficient cause, you're putting emphasis on Maya. There's no efficient cause without Maya.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's why. And I'm not interested in Maya so much right now as what is responsible for the projection of the creation and all that. You need to bring in Ishwara. Bring in Ishwara, you have to bring in Maya.
Oh, okay.
But we're talking now, instead of about the efficient cause for the projection of the creation, we're talking about what is actually there, which is the material cause.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
But it's going to resolve. Like, we use an example of the pot maker, you know, uses a material cause clay to create the pot, to make the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But the pot maker, as the efficient cause, is separate from the material cause. Right? But here there is no separation between the material cause and the efficient cause. It's just the efficient cause is mitya, but has no being apart from the satyam of the consciousness.
Well, when you do the Drikdrisha Viveka, you end up with two things, right?
Initially.
Yeah. So then when you bring in the karya karana, then you
really finish it off.
Yeah.
You even with the Drikdrisha, it's just there's more steps involved. So with Drikdrisha, you do the seer seeing, you end up with consciousness that is now released from any type of doership or knowership, because those all belong to the upadis. It's also released from anything that exists within time and space, because those are objectifiable. So now you end up with just one, with conscious being. And there's nothing to divide that conscious being into two, because space and time itself are objectifiable. So now we're down to, with the Drikdrisha, you get to just one conscious being, right? One self and one universe. Now you've got two. You've got one non-dual self and one universe. So we're not complete yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to go to the nature of that universe and reveal it as mithya. And there's different prakriyas that prove that this universe, Buddhists use the same thing, was that the universe is mithya. Because everything within it is subject to time, right, and subject to an infinite regress in terms of division. Like this thing. We have a name for it, but that's all it is, really, is just a name. There's no thing here. You can't find a thing, because anything that exists within space is divisible, right, and time also is divisible. So there really is no substance here.
What does it mean when Svarga Loka, or that creation dissolves then, if there's nothing in the first place? Or is that a different...
Well, we can't say, that's what mithya means. We can't say like this is not here, because we're experiencing it. So we can't say it's like the horn of a rabbit. That's an example they use. It's not like the horn of a rabbit, something that doesn't exist, because we're experiencing it. But when you analyze it, it has no independent being. So we label it as mithya, because it is totally dependent on something else for its being. Like with a clay pot, you're experiencing the pot, but you can't say it has any being of its own apart from the clay. The clay is what is actually there, and really there is no pot. Really. But there's the pot. That's what we mean by mithya. It's totally dependent on something else for its being. In this case, it's totally dependent on clay. So here we say, this universe that we're experiencing has no independent being, because everything in it is infinitely divisible and also subject to coming and going, coming into being, going out of being. So there's a lot of reasons to establish that this creation has no independent reality, and yet we experience it. So that... we have a name for that situation, which is mithya. It's a dependent order of reality.
You can't say it's the same mithya as...
Yeah, because it also comes to an end, right? All of it is. It's just you'll last longer up there.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to be a mukshu there, because you're there until it resolves into non-dual.
Well, actually, it'll resolve into like a... the unmanifest condition of maya.
Right.
Yeah, that was my question.
Mm-hmm. Not really non-dual. I mean, yeah. It's pure ignorance, basically.
Pure ignorance, but not non-dual.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, kind of to David's, leading off of what David's previous comment was, he was kind of talking about, you know, well, if you're in Svarga Loka, you might not become a mumukshu, but you don't need to be a mumukshu there. You only need to be a mumukshu here, because being a mumukshu is only for your mind. It's not for your being.
Yeah, but the problem is, like Swamiji will say, even though there's no death, there's no old age, there's no thirst, anything like that, they say you're just rejoicing, but there's still difference. One person's closer to Brahmaji than the other.
But that's not true.
Why not? Well, I didn't say Brahman, I said Brahmaji, the teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's still hierarchy there. Yeah.
How can they be totally happy if they know that it's going to end at some point or another? They must have a little niggle of unhappiness there. Little as slight anxiety.
I don't know. Those are all good objections to bring up about
Swamiji. Here comes the judge.
The tongue-in-cheek objection that Swamiji brings up is, yeah, but there's still somebody closer to Brahmaji. There's somebody way in the back row.
It's not
in
a better
the classroom,
seat.
You know,
yeah.
1,000 people. It's 1,000 people in the class, and Brahmaji's way up there. And that person gets us being the front row.
You can't see around this.
Can't
place.
See.
It's just like tall in front of you.
It reminds me, you know, in the Sailorsburg, when Swamiji would be teaching, the front two lines, those people used to really fight for their seats, to keep their seat, and they'd get really upset if somebody, and they would, everybody, and this isn't just these people, we used to do it too when I was a student. You know, it's like you'd get up really early and go claim your seat. You know, put your stuff all there so nobody would take your seat. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that got settled in, though. Didn't everybody sort of have permanent seats, kind of?
Sort of. But there was a possibility.
I have a question, but I want to save it. I just want to say it.
All right.
So maybe next time I'm going to ask you about where did the words efficient cause and material cause come from? Because I never heard them until I came to Vedanta.
Oh.
I never heard that distinction.
Oh, no. It's there.
It's in Western philosophy, mm-hmm. too?
Yeah, I think in Aristotle or something.
Like yeah.
That. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the material and efficient cause. For us, it's the nimitta and upadana karana. But yeah, that's not just the... That's not just
it
us.
Isn't. No.
That's not... But we can talk about it later.
It's in Wikipedia.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. I'm going to say goodnight now.